Why do we say that out of the way here? Then we'll be able to get into some of the more interesting elements of the show.
All righty, sounds good.
All right. Even though you're still here, I still have access to the book. So today's word is pedagogue. Where does the word pedagogue come from?
Oh, great. Our tech guy knows it. I have no clue. I've never heard the word. I don't think. Maggie, you have any idea?
I don't.
It's from the Romans. In Rome, a pedagogue was a slave who took the children to school, to the theater, and on their outings, although he often taught them as well. The word comes from the Greek paid, meaning child, and agion, meaning to lead.
Huh. Kind of like a kid mentor, I guess.
Wow. Right out of the way that it's used these days. It's used to mean essentially someone expressing political opinions that are contrary to their own self-interest.
Oh, so somebody who shoots themselves in the foot. We got a lot of those people around here. Thanks, Chris. Oh, so Maggie, what are you guys doing now with all this stuff with the virus and the interruption with the justice system or the court system? What's the department doing these days?
So we are open and we continue to work. What happens is we have to focus on the inmates who are in custody. And then we're continuing to still see police reports come in. We're continuing to still charge cases. And the idea is we're giving those people dates, 6 to 8 weeks out. So we are still working just like normal. It's just we don't have open courtrooms right now. And the idea that we're looking at, and I've been talking to a bunch of DAs across the state, is how do we reopen? What are the steps we can take in order to make sure the public will be safe? Because obviously our number one concern is if we start bringing jurors into the courthouse, we want them to be safe. So that's what we're sort of contemplating right now, with the hope that we're going to be able to be bringing the public in and doing jury trials maybe mid-June, late June, sometime around then.
Well, do you need, is there any element in criminal law that says a jury has to be in the courtroom for the trial? Or could you do it either with Zoom or off-site or something where you could make accommodations, or that at least it would be designed to handle accommodations easier than being in the courtroom itself?
So we can use alternative locations. That's allowed. So, for example, if for social distancing, it made more sense to move the case to the Adorney or, to the Board of Supes chamber, something like that. We could certainly do that. But ultimately, the responsibility of the jurors is to, evaluate witnesses, evaluate testimony. So you do need them in real positions to be able to do that. So we're talking about, some counties are considering using more than one courtroom, with the idea being jury selection would be small groups. And then ultimately, the 12 selected plus alternates would be in one courtroom with the attorneys, the judge, and the witnesses. And then if the public wanted to come view, because our proceedings are to be public, they would be seated in another courtroom with a TV screen going. So just, all the possible ways we could try to do this are being discussed right now. And then, unfortunately, it also means that for a lot of cases, they're going to be continued. And that's what we're seeing right now, which is tough to watch happen.
Wouldn't people be able to monitor, instead of being in an area with a big screen, couldn't they just, let's use Zoom as the reference, just get the password if they registered and be able to monitor it on their cell phone or their computers from their home or from wherever they are?
That's one alternative. One of the issues with that is if you're going to be open to the public, you have to be open to the public. So, for example, right now, if you came to the courthouse, we don't ask you to identify who you are. You're a member of the public. So we wouldn't want it to be completely open, because obviously if we have other witnesses we're about to call, we don't want them viewing it. If we have, other people that we may need down the road that we don't know yet that we're going to be asking to come testify, we don't want them watching it. So having it show in another courtroom was one consideration that I think it was either San Francisco or Sacramento County was trying to suggest as a way to cope with those issues.
So there's a realization or recognition of things changing. I would think that the legal system also would be one that would make accommodations so that, let's say, Humboldt County does something a little different than Mendocino County. Well, is that grounds for an overturn judgment or for an appeal? I mean,
right.
Is there any elasticity in the definitions of the procedures?
Well, we're sort of in all new territory. So it's, you know, we're all trying hard to make sure we make good choices so that we don't get overturned. I mean, that's, you know, you don't want to go through all this effort and do a six-week murder trial only to have somebody say, oh, you shouldn't have done this, and this, even though it was during the pandemic. So I know the judges are talking statewide. You know, the DAs are talking statewide, and I assume the defense bar is talking statewide to try to come up with a plan that protects everybody's rights and preserves what's so important about our jury system. I mean, Brian, it's like one thing we talked about is, right now, you have to wear a mask to go into the courtroom. Jurors are being asked to evaluate witnesses' credibility. Does wearing a mask affect your ability to perceive and observe and make a determination about whether or not you find a person believable?
Well, it's tough if somebody has a wry smile on their face to make that determination if there's a mask on.
Right. So there's just a lot of questions that, you know, I think we're all hoping that we're going to get to a better place fairly quickly. But for the short term, we're really struggling to cope with all the permeations that this has brought to our system.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:21. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Maggie, some of the different challenges, I think, particularly in your guys and gals arena, is dealing with the today, but then also looking down the road. I know we don't, at the county level, deal an awful lot with liability cases and things of that nature, but I'm already seeing and hearing and have had some inquiries, people in the legal profession starting to try to develop some class action lawsuits associated with some of the decisions that were made, some of the decisions that weren't made, things of that nature. I'm hearing that there's going to be some movement at the federal level to help put up a veil of protection against some of those liability concerns. Are you hearing whispers along the same lines?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it is such an area that would create so many problems for so many different people, whether it be businesses or property owners or whatever it is. I can see that a lot of people are thinking about how are they going to get to a place where this is somehow going to be, that they're going to get some either recover from it or sue for it or something like that. I could see that being a concern that people have.
So as the department head, start walking down this trail of doing things but not wanting to have things overturned, not wanting to have the appeals, wanting to get things through, is there any procedural changes that you've implemented, or is it more documentation? I mean, how do you avoid something like that?
We are, I think, always looking to see how some of the larger counties are handling it first. in part because they, well, for starters, because some of the larger counties are already taking steps towards bringing in jurors. They're talking about doing it in the next couple of weeks. So obviously we're going to be watching carefully to see, but ideally I'm trying to work with the public defender and then obviously hoping the judges are working with the other statewide judges so that we're all taking similar actions. I think I mentioned last time we were talking, the judicial council who keeps coming up with the rules, we are constantly asking for their, basically, input, the DAs are, I should say it that way, for their input on specific changes that are coming, because we recognize ultimately those are the people who are going to decide the appeals, right? So the Chief Justice is on the Judicial Commission or Judicial Council, and then we have a number of other appellate-level judges who also serve. And so if they're the ones making the call at this point, then hopefully they're going to say that was the right call when they get the appeal. And so we're asking for more, you know, sort of more input up front as to the steps that are being taken now.
What is the biggest concern, that there's going to be some kind of a cataclysmic change in interpretation during this period? Or, because I would think if everybody's going the same direction, by and large, then all the counties are kind of on in the same boat, and that the state would then have to wrestle with some of the determinations. What do you see out there is the elephant in the room at this point?
Well, for us, our fear is that some of the cases are going to be dismissed. So we keep coming up against deadlines that then are moved based upon the fact that we cannot proceed given the current situation. And so, like I said, with the rules coming from the Judicial Council, that deadline keeps being extended. But the concern is, you know, for those people who are saying you can't push this out this long, this is time not waived, what ultimately is going to happen? And so that's what we're all struggling with.
Are you hearing that other states are doing anything, or are the federal courts doing things a little bit differently that can be used kind of as the, not a template necessarily, but at least something for consideration?
No, we haven't. I mean, sort of everybody's struggling with the same issues. Just the constant, how do we meet our obligations and still keep the public safe? I mean, for example, if we start bringing in jurors, how do we make sure we have a safe environment for them and that they are going to be safe while they're coming into the courthouse and sitting here hearing cases? So looking at those issues are sort of what every state's doing, what every county's doing. You know, it's a concern.
Now, when you say public safety, there's both. I mean, that's a two-edged sword, obviously. Getting the bad guys into the system and off the street is one side, as well as protecting everybody within the system.
Right.
Yeah, it's, and particularly under the edict that the sheriffs have about the separation inside the jails. It really seems like there needs to be a lot of focus in this area. Are you dedicating somebody of your staff to jump on this? Is this what you're doing with your days these days? How do you push this string along?
So a lot of people here are working on this just because we're trying to, resolve it. It right now we are still doing hearings, and the individuals at the jail on the video conference, and we're moving through. And that, I think, is working, but the bigger issue is the number of people who have been released from the jail, and those cases are being pushed out. And that is, that's going to be a huge, tsunami or whatever else we're going to call it in the next couple of months, because we really do have to get back to where we're taking care of the criminals, in real time, and that there are, ways to do that.
Do you think it's fair to say that speedy and swift is going to be redefined maybe as tepid and a little bit slower? and still be okay?
Yes. And I guess I'm you know, still hopeful that while this is going to be an ongoing problem, I mean, I know everybody keeps talking about it's not going to be over in 3 months and probably not in 6 months, but that at some point we are going to get back to normal. And I don't know what normal will be for most of the community, but I know for courts, it will be back to having the doors open, the public comes in, and we're proceeding in a courtroom. It has to get back to that.
I just had a thought. Do you need to have a place for the public to be able to watch a trial?
Well, they are. It's a constitutional right to have a public courtroom, a public setting. So, yes, we do.
But
it's also the way we show the public what we're doing.
Is public defined as a critical number, or is it you could have two or three representatives and that would suffice? It may not be the intent, it may not be the long term, but it would suffice in a situation like this so that there was somebody, or at least the ability for somebody to monitor from the community.
I don't know that public would be redefined. I mean, right now it's literally just the doors are open and anyone can walk in. So I don't know if at some point, because of this situation, we would get to, you know, the media is allowed or one or two representatives. I don't know. I mean, the situation, Brian. There are days when our courtrooms are completely empty, and then there are days or cases where if you don't arrive pretty much promptly, you're not going to get a seat. So I think the idea has always been that having the community be able to walk in and see what's taking place and how a case is proceeding has pretty much always been, you know, how we understand our system to work and to best serve the public.
Well, we'll see what the future holds. It's 8:30.
Right.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:32. We're back talking shop this morning. It's a Thursday morning with Maggie Fleming. Too much fun. Hey, Maggie, we were hearing in the news this morning that there's a consensus of opinion, but that there's disparate opinions about where we are in the county as far as shelter this, shelter that, phase this, phase that, where we are. Code enforcement, things of that nature. Has any of that stuff reached to your floor in the courthouse?
No. So what you're really talking about and what the community is really, really experiencing is how this is affecting people, their daily lives, businesses, restaurants, but that's really not anything we're involved in. We are, you know, working here on the whole issue of coping with the criminal justice system and ongoing criminal activity.
Right, but like code enforcement as an example. I know that's something that typically we think of with the agriculture sectors being in compliance or not, but now we're hearing that retail businesses, before they're able to open, or any of those that are now defined as being able to function, need a certification, authorization, a blessing from the bishop. I don't know what it is, the full extent. But yeah, are you going to mess around with that kind of stuff, or is that more of like a civil offense and people will either get a fine or they'll have a deputy posted out in front until they get their authorization?
So primarily it'll be a business licensing issue. I mean, that's how I always think of these things, right? If if you are, you know, serving alcohol without a license, ABC comes down on you. So similar here, they are, it's an enforcement, and obviously if they are in violation, there can be penalties associated with their retail license, their business license. But no, we are really not, we're not involved in, you know, as the community moves forward, reopening.
Yeah, I would think that that would kind of be less severe than getting some of the other bad guys taken care of.
Exactly. Our focus has to be on the criminals that we're seeing and the cases that we have pending.
Now, you guys have had a tough time getting jurors to show up, I guess, on a regular basis over the last 5 to 10 years. I would think if there's all of a sudden this pig in the python, and you're going to be looking at a lot more people, that really is one of those Achilles heels, if you will, in trying to bring everything back up to speed.
It will be. I can't stress enough, you know, how much we rely on the fact that people show up for jury duty in order for the system to work, in order for us to actually get to, you know, an outcome that's just. And so we are really going to need for people to take that on and to show up now more so than, you know, ever before because of the circumstances.
Now, I've seen numbers that for Humboldt County are over 10,000 are now unemployed that weren't prior to the situation. Is there any way to delineate? Because, if I'm chasing a job, I'm sorry, I'm not going to show up for jury duty. It's just going to be something that simple. Is there a way to delineate with the pool and be able to get either folks that are not actively pursuing or perhaps those that are retired and separate them a little bit so that you might have a little higher compliance, but you're also not going to be dealing with the, let's just say the raging attitude that I would bring in there if I was required to attend when there are other far more pressing issues that I was having to deal with.
Right. So we do have the online system now, Brian, and hopefully people are going through and filling that out. And then as those numbers come back, the jury summons, you know, sort of increases. So that by the time we ultimately get to a trial, you know, if we need 60 jurors, we have 60 jurors. The idea is that absolutely, you know, just like before, if you check the box that says I'm currently a, you know, college student, I can't possibly come at this time, you know, you're taken out of the list and more names are added to make sure we get to that minimum we need to start jury selection.
So there is that's part of those evolutions that have been happening.
Yes.
In recognition by the courts that things are a little bit more tenuous now than what they have been in the past.
I don't know that it's necessarily changed, but what I do know is, you know, financial hardship has always been a basis because you have people who literally do not get paid unless they're at work and they can't afford, you know, to come sit on a 2-week trial.
Yeah, no, I know.
And so too with, you know, people who say, oh, I provide care for an elderly parent. You can't ask them to come stay in a courtroom for 2 weeks, you know, because they have no one else to do that care. So those are always on the questionnaires, and then hopefully people will, you know, continue to recognize we're not trying to harm anybody's ability to survive. We're just asking for those who can serve to please come serve.
Do you think there's an opportunity, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but to have, I guess they'd be called semi-pros, not necessarily professionals, but semi-pro jurors? And kind of like serving on the grand jury, you know, you step up, you volunteer, there's greater efficiencies, they kind of know what's going on. It's still of peer, but it's not some of the challenges that you guys and gals run into on a far more regular basis.
I know you've talked about this before, but I haven't seen any movement for that, you know, statewide or even outside of the state. It's an interesting concept. And I do think there are some people who'd be willing to do it because they're at that point, you know, either they're retired, or maybe their kids are in school, so they're not, you know, needed at home every minute. Those sorts of things. I think it would be interesting, but I don't know that it would ever be accepted publicly.
So it's still a unanimous vote of one here in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the vote might get split if you were actually here. Oh, some of the challenges with getting the aces in also as you get ready to kind of gear things up a little bit. I know there's been flying people in, having them drive here, that transportation component. Is that going to change also, or do you see that's something that is going to stay static?
I think that's something that we may very well see change. I know we've had this issue before, you know, just because of sometimes during, you know, winter, we have a hard time flying people in. So I think we're definitely going to have to consider those concerns. And given how good we can do with video conferencing now, I think it's an important, you know, thing to consider. Could we have an expert sitting in their, you know, in their own home or wherever with their laptop with the camera on and be subject to direct and cross-examination and be playing that for the jury? I think that could be very, very efficient. And particularly, as you say, given this time, we're going to have a really hard time getting people to travel. I think it would be a great way to move forward.
Well, and I would suspect that the budgetary pressures that undoubtedly are going to be coming around also, if you could save $50,000 to $100,000, that really has significant impact in the next couple of years or so. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. And then it would also be significantly less for the expert because, you know, we pay their travel time, we pay their overnight time, we pay everything versus if they could see us for a couple hours in the middle of an afternoon and then be right back at their jobs right after. I think that would be incredibly, you know, very, very efficient and also very saving financially.
Well, if we don't get the semi-pro jurors, maybe that would be a good thing.
you keep promoting that, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, keep flogging that horse. Eventually something's going to change. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Maggie, if you guys are continuing to process through, is the public also able to continue to interact with the district attorney's office the same way as we have been able to in the last little bit?
Yes. So thank you, Brian. We're still here. We're 707-445-7411 if people have questions or concerns. For those people who are called as witnesses, if they don't have the ability to get on Zoom, you know, we bring them into the building. We have a law library, so we're able to set up social distancing. We set them up with a computer, and then we proceed just like normal. We still have our victim witness division and our district attorney investigators working, and so for folks who are experiencing problems and need a restraining order, we're still helping them get those through the courts, and the court is taking those, you know, via email, making sure we're getting all of that done. And then we're still providing services to victims and witnesses. So people are still filing claims to be reimbursed for their losses. They're still, you know, working with us to go through this system. You know, even with the delays, we're making sure we're taking care of people. And then as law enforcement submits cases to us, you know, and we're charging those cases, getting them into the system. Like I say, they're somewhat delayed. We're giving people dates now in end of June, early July. But we're reaching out to victims, making sure they're aware of that, making sure they understand we're moving forward. It's just going to be a month or two before we really see things starting to get back to normal.
Well, everybody's moving a little bit slower these days.
That's right.
Have you seen an uptick in domestic violence filings or things of that nature? I mean, if you look at the national trades, they talk about alcohol consumption is up, not necessarily violence associated with it, but just, you know, people at home, they've got more time, and they'll seems like they're enjoying their adult beverages more regularly. But with the domestic violence, that's often hooked to the financial challenges that a family have. And this certainly is qualifying for that kind of a period of time.
Right. We believe that's the case. I don't have data that supports it just yet. But I know that law enforcement have indicated they've seen an increase in calls. We just haven't seen an increase in the number of cases we've received. We're still about consistent. One area that we're obviously very concerned about is with shelter in place, there's less opportunities for people to report, because a lot of times when, you know, a victim can report is when they are away from the perpetrator, when they're perhaps, you know, out because they're grocery shopping or out because they're seeing other people or whatever it is. So we're concerned about that because, as you say, with times of stress, we generally see, unfortunately, those who are not able to cope, they sometimes turn to violence. So it's, you know, obviously something we're very concerned about, and that's why it's so important. And what I really, really want people to know is that we're here for them. We have our victim witness division here answering phones, helping people, trying to come up with plans for them to find a safe place to go to, you know, anything we can do to help protect people.
Well, and I would suspect the same arguments are there for child abuse also. Just,
that's correct.
You know, yeah, that whole continuum that's out there. Well, hopefully we will be proven to be liars, 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 and everything will be okay, and you won't see any kind of a spike in filings here in the next little bit. That would be nice.
That would be nice, Brian.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I think it's time for us to get to work. What do you think?
All right, Brian. I hope you stay safe, and I'll look forward to talking to you next month.
All righty, Maggie. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye now.
See everybody tomorrow.